The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment today, but I have as my co-host, John Dixon. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Carl. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Welcome back. It is 7 after 7 here on the 18th of August. Phone lines here are 605-4567. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. You can hop into our chat room. We've had our chatters have been coming from all over the world. In fact, Des from the Netherlands is in the chat room today. Good morning, Des. When we're sitting here talking about 108 degrees, she says, well, it's 67 over here today. But, Bob, what does the weather look like today?
Well, more of what we've been getting there, Carl. Lots of smoky skies this morning. That red rubber ball of a sun coming up. 107 is what we're looking for today for a high. Winds about 15 miles an hour, so the fire danger remaining up in the red zone. Clear tonight, low around 70. It'll be cooling off, relatively speaking, tomorrow, down to 102, 100 on Thursday, and by Friday we'll be down into the 90s. Right now in Reading we have 72 degrees, and this report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Hey, it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer, veteran-owned business. They give seniors and veterans discount. Give them a call, 365-3793. Oh, a lot of things going on today, but the big thing, of course, is that we're sitting here with Mike Warren. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Carl.
You
morning,
didn't get,
John.
You know, I just want to warn everybody, as you're leaving the station today, do not cross the street without looking both ways or using a crosswalk, because it seems like jaywalking tickets are way up here in Reading. That this year is, in the first 6 months, it's 118 tickets. Not as bad as 2014, where it was 180 tickets in 6 months. However, in 2013, there was only 66 for the whole year. It appears that we have a grant that pays overtime for jaywalking and bicycles. So our guys are out there.
That explains just Bob's nemesis.
Just Bob was limping across the street, and the motorcycle guy got him and gave him a ticket for jaywalking. He didn't have to pay any money. People are complaining, saying, why am I having to pay? I mean, look what's going on, and you're giving me a ticket for jaywalking. Well, you've got to give, if you're going to give derelicts walking across the street a ticket, you've got to give Mr. and Mrs. America there that's just jogging with their little red suits on and they're crossing the street a ticket, too. Hey, the law is the law. Sergeant Joe Friday.
Can't they get a grant to stop people with the idiot cell phones in their ears while they're driving 4,000 pounds of machinery?
It's huge, and right across
or
the street from
walking
us,
with them.
We're down at 1326 Market Street, and here's a warning, people. If you make that turn onto Market Street off of Shasta, or you're coming down Market Street and you've got a phone in your ear, the chances of you getting a ticket are really, really good, because there's a motorcycle policeman that just sits over there, and he has never sat longer than 2 minutes. If somebody drives by, boom, he either gets him for a seatbelt or the phone. I think it's usually he goes for phones.
It's a $200 ticket for the phone.
Is it?
Yeah, I haven't gotten one. But
anybody we know have one?
And I don't want one, but I'll tell you this, more than that, is I don't want to be rear-ended by somebody texting as they're driving along. And I see it on the freeway all the time. I see it locally here. It's serious.
Well, you know, when you get down to other places in the United States, where there's a lot of traffic, and you're in the slow crawl traffic, you can look around and see what other people are doing. They're putting on makeup. They're reading the paper in the traffic jam as they're going down. I mean, here a traffic jam for us means that you've had to wait 10 seconds at a light, which is, I think, really appropriate.
Seven cars built up.
Okay. Mike.
Yeah.
This week?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be groundbreaking or next week? Or do we know?
It won't be this week.
Okay.
The McConnell Foundation purchased the 14 acres, and so that part of the deal is closed. And now we are in the process of finalizing the loan to move ahead.
Mm-hmm.
There are dozens, literally dozens and dozens of documents. We have the lender, which is North Valley Bank, great bank to work with. We have the McConnell Foundation, and we have KBK Foundation out of San Francisco, and they all want to protect their interests because it's millions of dollars. And all of them have lawyers, sometimes more than one. And it is...
They have platoons of lawyers.
It's ridiculous. But the good news is we're, I think, a couple weeks away from finally breaking ground and starting this darn hotel. I'll tell you guys, I'll say it in advance that it's a joke. But when I said this, I think I told you, Carl, at, you know, people ask me to give them an update and I'll go speak before a group. One of the things I say is, hey, we got contacted by the governor. And he called me directly and said, Mr. Warren, I wanted to know if we could do anything to help with the hotel. And I said, Governor, what an honor that is. But, I mean, you got the whole state of California to run. You don't, I mean, this is just a small little hotel in Redding. And, you know, I can't believe you're going to take that much of an interest in us. And he said, oh, no, you don't understand. I have heard about this project down here in Sacramento. Everything that can go wrong has gone wrong. And I know as soon as you break ground, it's going to start raining. And we need the water. That's why I want to help you get started. Half the people believe me when I say that.
Well, you know, that,
I was going for it.
Here's the other half. We'll say this to you. As soon as you turned over the first big bulldozer load, all of a sudden you're going to find antiquities.
Oh, don't.
Oh, no.
Please don't say that.
But, oh, my gosh, there's a bow and arrow here from the 1600s.
You know there's fairy shrimp there.
Oh, you know. Okay, in fact, you know, in case you don't know who we're talking to, this is Mike Warren, who is the CEO of Turtle Bay.
Yes.
Is that the director or CEO of Turtle Bay?
Yeah, CEO.
CEO of Turtle Bay out here. And, of course, if you just moved here or you're living in Amsterdam, where some of our listeners are right now, we had in Turtle Bay wants to build a new hotel, a Sheraton hotel. And there's been a lot of work done to do this, including lawsuits and elections and initiatives. And the vast majority of the people say, let's build this thing. And so now, finally... I can't even get into everything. The clawback money, which the first time I've ever heard of it, something called clawback money.
Yeah, what is it?
They claw it back. They claw it out of your system. You're bleeding. You're like, I just want to claw that out. All of this. And now you're getting ready to build. Well, I'll tell you what, though, Mike, we just made it easier for you. You know what? We have solved that problem.
Oh, good.
John and I last night ran down there with our shovels, and we broke ground there for you.
We
dug a few times. We each have a shovel. We're going to hand it to you later on today.
I've got a golden pick.
A golden pick. You know, we're there.
Do you know how we have the groundbreaking, what our plan is? We have a badger named Digger.
Yeah.
And Digger likes to dig. And so we are going to bring out Digger to
break ground.
Right?
Absolutely.
He's been practicing for 5 years.
I've seen Digger at work. Yeah. Y'all put little things in the ground, so you're cheating. Digger takes a look around, and it just looks like a little buzzsaw going into the dirt.
Right.
Okay. Well, so that's going to happen here then. So,
yeah, it's going to happen. Yeah.
Mike, if I may, besides the hotel, what else is new going on over at Turtle Bay? I know there's some
stuff
happening.
Do you want to wait? Yeah, let me go for a break here, and then we can get into that. This portion of the show is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. 70 years in business, the top 100 hospital, one of the top 100 hospitals in the nation for 3 years in a row, and a top cardiac unit for this year. I tell you what, you can't get any better than that. It's because Shasta Regional Medical Center is treating people well. Good people down there. If you've got an emergency, their emergency room is probably the one you want to roll into. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott, John Dixon, and CEO of Turtle Bay, Mike Warren.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries.
Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us, and we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your delivery. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchards. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday, I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear you. This morning, it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. Centrally located in Memphis, Tennessee, GI Pathology delivers results to its nationwide client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to gipath.com for more information.
There's an open casting call for actors, singers, and dancers ages 7 and up for Reading's holiday tradition, A Cascade Christmas. This holiday spectacular features an all-new story, music, dance, and illusion to bring the spirit of Christmas into everyone's hearts. Auditions are at the Cascade August 21st through the 23rd. Singing auditions are on a first-come, first-served basis. Dance auditions by appointment only. Information and appointments online at cascadebackstage.org/auditions or 243-8877.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I've been listening to them by myself. Today's music ain't got the same song.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and John Dixon and our guest, Mike Warren from Turtle Bay. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Cicada Cantina. They're going to have salsa dancing classes with Cheyenne Montillo on August 26th from 9 to 11 at Cicada. And they're going to have all types of great food down there, of course. Pablo Poblano and Chili Brano. And their featured drinks, Prickly Pear, Nate's Watermelon Mojito, which, of course, is one of Bob's favorites. Located at 1691 Hilltop Drive, Cicada. Great place to go out and enjoy great food and drinks with family and friends. All right. Mike Warren is our guest, along with, of course, my guest co-host here is John Dixon. And we're talking about what's new, what's going to be new out there at Turtle Bay.
Well, funny you should ask. We were notified that we got a $500,000 grant to do some interesting things in the forest camp. And this, of course, is one of the areas that the kids from 5 to 15 gather. And we are in the process of having a company design and next year build three new elements to the forest camp. One is a water feature. And so on days like today, you know, and instead of just going to the forest camp and doing your usual, you will have a place to cool off.
Like a log flume?
Yeah, exactly, John. The second one is a 0 to 5 area where mothers and fathers with kids that need a little bit of protection, shall we say, from the older kids can go into a fenced area, small area, and they'll be safe, and the parents will be able to sit under umbrellas and be a really nice area. The third, my favorite, is treehouse, where you'll be able to test your skills at climbing up to the treehouse and eventually over to the next treehouse to the point where it will hook up with the boardwalk. And so you'll be able to go from tree to tree to tree.
When are you going to put a zip line across the river?
That's actually been suggested. Well, I guess when we have enough money to do it. It's really expensive, and the liability insurance is what kind of kills it for us.
Always insurance.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, look,
that's right, John.
Look, I put up zip lines many times in my life. We didn't call them that exactly, but that's what they turned out being.
Yeah.
It's easy. You just get me like six or seven derelicts out there and a big rope, and I'll put you one across there. And I'll put homeless to work, and I will have this thing up in probably like 3 hours.
There you go.
I'll let you get the permits.
All right, we've got a bit of a zip line plan for this.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you should, because those are, I mean, people really have a good time with them.
This won't be one that maybe that you'll enjoy, because it's not as scary as going across the river. But for about 100 yards, you'll be able to get on a line and see what it's like to be up out of the air, guiding along to another location, kind of like what the lumberjacks had to do. So we've got that planned in with this grant. So
great.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You need to kind of branching out there, with especially the water events, too. I mean,
branching out.
Yeah, we got that. Yeah, nice fun.
Yeah. So it looks like everything's on keel and going forward and all this?
You know, it's weird, Carl. The staff and I talk about this, and the board of directors and I talk. It used to be that Turtle Bay, an average day was 150 people coming in, and a good day was, say, 250 to 300. Our average day now is about 350, 375, and a good day is 500 or more. Our attendance is terrific.
Several 100% increase.
Yeah, it's you know, we have maybe it's the exhibition. Right now we have Mindbender, which is a room of active puzzles, and you can't get out of there in less than an hour or two, because you want to challenge yourself, and you can't do all the puzzles in only a couple hours. So it's a lot of fun. But even when, you know, it doesn't really matter almost what exhibition we have in there, more people are coming and touring than ever.
I think part of it is you got one price for a ticket.
Yeah, that's true.
That to me is a big thing, and to a lot of people, when you asked, and you all took the time to go out and say, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
What is it you want from Turtle Bay? And one of the things I think people mentioned was, once I get my season ticket, I don't want to have to pay more money.
That's right.
And you all did that. You listened to people. And you did that. And I think that helps. I think the fact that, you know, reaching out to the community, that there's more, absolutely, there's more publicity about what's going on here. I mean, you all come in every month and talk about all the things that are happening. And Christy Kidd is a great spokesperson for you, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but you're talking about that. But I think people, too, are starting to see that Turtle Bay, you know, because you're not seeing the nastiness that you used to.
That's right.
People are starting to understand that if you're going to have a community, you need a museum. And that bridge brings in people. Turtle Bay brings in people.
So does the Arboretum.
You've got 80,000 cars going across the going past these exits every day. That we can, if we can pull them in the first time, now we have to be able to push them out inland.
Mm-hmm.
And then keep them here for 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of stuff. So, you know, I mean, so I think people... But, you know, whether it's adverse publicity or not during everything that went on, people started going. And once you get them there, they're happy.
Yeah, we look very – you're right about the getting the feedback. Christy is – who's going to apparently be in here pretty soon. Christy does a great job
– little did I know.
On social media, monitoring it, monitoring what people are saying. And we do –
the surveys of not only our members, but of people that are coming in that aren't members. And what is it you want? You're right, Carl. One of the things where we that they said loud and clear was we don't want to be nickel and dime.
Yeah.
And so we had an upcharge for the Parrot Playhouse of a couple bucks. And we had an upcharge for a special exhibition.
Yeah.
And we've done away with that. And it seems to have worked. People are more satisfied paying one price, and that's it.
You know what? It's because, and that's just it. Even if it, and it is worth it. I mean, you go to see the Titanic exhibition, okay?
Right.
But it's the fact is, yeah, I've paid my money. Oh, now they want more money. And as you know, if somebody has an experience that they're not happy with,
yeah, they tell.
As a, they're going to tell 28 people. If they have an experience they're happy with, they're, how many they're going to tell? Maybe 12 to 15.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's that kind of thing. But now the word of mouth also is, you know, that, hey, this is a great event. This is super. You can take kids. You don't even have to be your kids.
If you don't mind, I'd like to put out one more word of mouth here, and that is that the membership in Turtle Bay is reasonable. It's priced right, and it is well worth the investment of putting a little money into it on an annual basis. You get a great return for your money on it.
Yeah, you do. That's just the only way to go. $80 for a family is relatively low.
Yeah, Bob.
There seems to be a mindset in this community, and I know you're all familiar with it, that every taxpayer dollar needs to be spent on putting a cop on every corner, and every public building needs to look like something out of 1970s Soviet Union. And I don't want to live in that world.
That's right.
You know what?
I agree with Bob 100%.
No, it's, you know, the fact is that we live in our world where we are. Is it perfect? No. But is Reading one of those cities that can expand? We just had somebody come back from Bend, Oregon, talking about how they were in the dregs back in the 70s and 80s. I mean, you couldn't have gotten any worse. They're, since then, the city has reinvented itself.
What city is this?
Bend, Oregon.
Oh, Bend. Okay.
And they've got this old, you know, it used to be lumber and logging. They've taken this old logging mill, lumber mill, on the river and turned it into a place where all these shops are at. And they've reinvented themselves.
They definitely
and,
have.
You know, they got the Deschutes River there. But we have the Sacramento. And, you know, one thing, Mike, and it really has nothing to do with Turtle Bay, is vision. What do you see could be done along that river?
Where?
Along our Sacramento River here. I mean, we've got the
like the San Antonio River Trail.
No, they've got the river walk there, but we have this beautiful river. We have trails already going alongside the water. I mean, what are plans? What are things that could be done around here?
Well, you know, I used to be the city manager, as you both know, and I would go to other communities and look what they did or what they didn't do. So my vision of the river, I lived up in Portland for a while, would be to do something like what they've done to the Willamette River. It's right across from the Marriott in Portland, the downtown. And they have it. They have development at either end. They have a nice hotel and business district. But the river itself is open. It's got a very wide sidewalk. It has a grass area, and that's where they have their community events. So I see light development at either end. It's very typical. My vision is the same as most people's vision, that we open it up for trails. We don't overdevelop it.
Right.
We do have development there. I mean, we do need that. But we have an open area where the community can gather. And that's what we're trying to do at Turtle Bay with the good help of the people at the convention center and the city and whatnot, is to develop our very small portion of the river, put a trail that goes from Turtle Bay over to the rodeo grounds, and then you can get by the cemetery and get into our downtown. People, there's going to be 200 different people every other day at our hotel. And they're going to want to go to the downtown.
They're going to want to do something.
That's right.
Right. And why shouldn't they be able to take that trail in there, or rent a bike that goes downtown, or have those things that are set up where you can rent a bike in one place and drop it off at another?
Right.
You know, other people have these places. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
And have all of these things that are happening. And there's no reason that we can't do something like that and then enhance that. But we have to take a break right now. So, sorry.
It's all right.
Unless, of course, John, you want to buy out all the time here on the show? And hey, just give me a check at the beginning of each month, and it's all yours, John. Hey, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's 7:30 in the morning here. It's 72 degrees. It's going up to 108 today, so be careful out there. Hey, kids are going back to school. Watch them. They don't think like you do. You know, they're going to be running in between cars, and it's going to be dangerous out there for those children, so be watching for them out there. 7:31 in the morning. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month, next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and John Dixon, my co-host today. Linda's on assignment.
Hey.
7:33 in the morning, 72 degrees out there, going up to 108. Phone lines here, 605-4567. We're streaming live on KCNR1460.com, and good morning, Bill and Des and Sunshine and Sun Gold and everybody there, talking about things that should be happening here in town. Now we got them all started. This portion of the show, though, is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, across from Sierra Gibbs. Leonard has probably the finest selection of jewelry you're going to find in this town, and it's high quality and at good prices. His estate jewelry is, and he's just got an exquisite selection of estate jewelry, plus anything you could possibly want is probably sitting back there in that big safe. From baubles to things that you will need arm guards to walk out with. So, Mike, you could probably go down there and find a Valentine's Day present.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm going to give the address to your beautiful wife. So, Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Of course she listens. She writes in every day. 222-2750 is the phone number, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. My guest today, besides my co-host, John Dixon, is Mike Warren, the CEO of Turtle Bay, and also Christy Kidd, who just rolls in there, who is their, you're their public relations, or, you know, their media management group.
I talk a lot.
That's right.
She's
the one that she came in and she put the rope in between us and Mike. Did you notice that? And Mike walks around. She puts a rope in and she keeps us back and we're kind of leaning against the rope. Can we ask a question here?
Leave the boss alone.
She says, I've been wounded.
You know, put my broken leg in front of you.
Put a broken leg up on the table. You know, so we're going here.
Carl, before we go.
Yes.
Mike and I were talking at the break, and we just wanted to mention that Bethel has got a group of volunteers that comes out and works at the park on a daily basis, practically daily basis. And these guys are doing a great job out there keeping the trails fire protected. There's a area off to the side on both sides that are protected. They're clearing out brush that's burnable. Things are just, they're doing a great job out there, and I'd like to give a heads up to Bethel.
I second the motion. Now, when they approached me about, I think it was about 4 years ago, might have been three, they said, we'd like to bring out at least 40 people every Thursday during the nice months, so about 6 months out of the year, and we'd like to help you maintain Turtle Bay. I said, okay, but I thought this is going to last for about 3 weeks, and here it is 3 or 4 years later. And
still at it.
We couldn't maintain the park as nice as what we do without their help. They are so community-minded. I love having them as our neighbor.
The cleanup out there is fantastic. I've been impressed all the way. They work hard.
Yeah. Carl, I want to tell you a story. You mentioned something about, is that okay?
I guess it depends on how that goes. Does it have anything to do with women in leather and straps that the Record Searchlight has photos of on their digital edition?
You've just caused a lot of men to go to the to Reading.com.
You know, I want them to tell me, hey, we had a spike on this time and this morning. I'll tell you why.
You mentioned vision.
Yeah.
Back about 1999, 2000, the mall was being remodeled, and we were trying to get Macy's to be one of the anchors. And the secretary to, I think they have a couple CEOs. One is for the West Coast or west of the Mississippi, and one's east. Anyway, the CEO secretary called and said, we'd like to meet with the city manager, and we wanted to land. We're going to land at the airport at such and such a time on certain day, and we're going to come over and we want to tour City Hall and then go out to lunch with the city manager. And my secretary took that message, and I said, yeah, wait a minute. They want to come and speak to me about coming to Reading. They're going to go by the mall, aren't they? She said, well, no, she didn't say that. I said, all right, well, we waited until that day. Sure enough, plane landed, five people got off, including the CEO, and came directly over to my office, and we toured City Hall and the new City Hall.
Right.
And we went out to lunch, and I asked him about halfway through the lunch. I said, I've got to ask you a question. You know, why did you fly into Reading, you know, a good distance, and come to City Hall, tour City Hall, go out to lunch, and then you're going to leave? Why wouldn't you go by the mall and see your location? And he gave me an answer that showed why he was the CEO of Macy's. You ever heard this story? He said, I know what a mall looks like. We studied the area. We know it from maps. I don't want to see that. That's not as important to me as where the community is going. You just built the city hall. I wanted to see that, and I wanted to hear about the vision of where the city is going before we made a decision to come here.
And we need a vision. Do we have a vision now? I mean, I'm sorry. This is Turtle Bay time, but you're Turtle Bay, but. And Christy, you're here too, so you can just jump in when you want to, and you
great,
know, and hammer me with the cast on your leg. But one of the things is, I'm hearing, seeing comments saying, "Oh, Kutchos owns this, and Kutchos and the McConnell Foundation are in this death struggle, like two cobras that are wrapped around each other, you know, seeing which one can bite the other one first." But because of that, there's been nothing done along the river. But this is supposed to end in the next 3 or 4 years, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, the lease
is up.
Kutcher's family owns the property, and McConnell has a lease on it. And I want to say, like you said, three or four years. And it ends.
But shouldn't planning already be going by somebody that says, this is what this could look like?
Well, back in the, I think, early 90s, there was a specific plan for that area. If you're asking me just as a citizen.
As a citizen. Yeah. Because I've read this book, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. There's a book called The Upcoming Jobs War by the guy that does the Gallup polls and all this. He's his chairman, and he wrote this book, The Upcoming Jobs War. Seth Hope from the EDC carries it around with her, and she gave it to me for 3 or 4 days. I tell you what, this is a life-changing book. Everybody that's in public office ought to read this. And see, and you are one of the people in that book, Michael. And the fact is, the people that change a community are not the politicians. They are not the ones working in the staff, because 99% of them have become good at what they do because they work inside the box. The people that change the community are the leaders of the community, the business leaders, the social leaders that get together, come up with the plans, and literally force it on the politicians and make them happen. April LaFrance, let me give you an example right there. April LaFrance came out, got hammered because she said something about the libraries, and she was just inundated with bad thoughts. But she came out and did something. That's the kind of thing that we have. So when you say that something was, from 1990s, is there anybody in city government that is actually looking down the road 3 or 4 years and saying, you know what, we need to design what this town is going to look like? Where's our planning commission? They're looking at making a third bicycle lane. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Most of our government officials at the moment are fighting fires, and I don't mean out in the hills there. They're fighting the daily fires of the complaints and the small-minded thinking that's going on in the community. And I don't mean to be a curmudgeon about this, but this is reality. There are people with some grand designs and some great ideas for what's going ahead. I mentioned on the blog here that Shasta Entertainment Group, which is talking about developing Stillwater into a studio facility for movie development and the various other things out there. It's one of the few things that could really go out there. We keep thinking that is a production area, but we don't have any ingress or egress to get in and out of the Stillwater Business Park to produce things.
But that's exactly what I'm talking about. We have people on the outside pushing the ideas. You know,
yes.
what you just said today, I'll tell everybody this is what we're going to do. Boom, 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 boom. And this is going to have more people come. Boom, 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 boom. We need organizations like that. And whether it comes out of the Chamber of Commerce or it comes out of, I don't care where it comes from. And that people are getting together and with leadership and put together these plans. Mike, am I off base here?
I don't. No, I don't think you are off base. I think you're right on target. I'll give you an example, again, going back to my city manager days. We had a police chief, and I don't know the current police chief, so this isn't about him. I had a police chief named Bob Blankenship, 1995. We're going all the way back then. And gangs were just looking at our community, and I had just come here. And I said, wow, what did I get myself into? And Bob Blankenship, the chief, had a plan, and it was a multifaceted plan of how we can rid ourselves or protect ourselves from
the gang element.
The gang element and the road that many communities have unfortunately gone down. And there was a plan, and it wasn't just about more cops. In fact, that was a small portion of it. It was about what some of the things the city's doing right now, as a matter of fact, but
right.
Going to these places where they live and their slums and condemning them and tearing them down so that something nice can be built. It was multifaceted. We had the planning department working with the police department, along with the health department, along with public works, and after a year or two, all of a sudden, we changed the tide. And I say we rather liberally. It was really the police chief and what he had learned from his years in that profession on how you can and what other communities have done successfully.
Sadly, the difficulty in carrying that on has been the lack of logistics within the community to do it. We've lost a large number of the police department. We've lost opportunities to do exactly what Bob Blankenship had directed. And had we been able to carry on with that, we wouldn't be suffering some of the many problems we are right now.
Put your face up closer to the mic.
Sorry about that.
I'm going to tie a string to your head.
Okay.
We call him Benny
again.
Close. Our guest is Mike Warren, the CEO of Turtle Bay, and Christy Kidd, who's the public affairs expert out there, who usually comes in at this time, and of course John Dixon is my co-host. We're going to take a break here. This portion of the show is brought to you by Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair, a better-known business and guarantees his work. And very few places can do that, but from chips to cracks over 24 inches in length, Jeff Wurst can do this. Give them a call at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street right here in Redding. Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. We also have a couple of tickets we're going to give away to Turtle Bay when we come back.
The 11th annual Dog Pound Poker Run benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino. Starting with an awesome buffet and featuring raffles, bands, dancing, fight games, vendors, and poker hand and joker hand prizes at each stop. Poker hand with a low hand of $250 and a high hand of $500. For pre-registration form and details, visit RedingDogPound.com or call 710-6289. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Dr. Jack Finch, Shasta Regional Hospital, Outlander Creative, Lakeshore Inn and RV, America's Tires, Shasta Athletic Club, AC Guide Service, R&R Meats, Everyday Fitness, CR Gibbs, Crown Motors, Lamb Custom Seats, Outlaw Motorcycle, Sojourn Cellars, Westside Pet Hospital and Boarding, Record Searchlight, California Brewery, Bridge Bay Resort, and Mosley Family Cellars. The 11th Annual Dog Pound Poker Run, benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino. So why are you sitting there? Come on and ride.
Dave Aberea back here with Dr. Sam Carino of the Shasta Spine Specialists. Doc, tell us about this new system, the DRX 9000, and what it can do to improve your health and your life.
The DRX 9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal decompression system. The DRX 9000 can effectively treat common and debilitating back pain, neck pain, stenosis, and sciatica. Too many people are having back surgery when the technology for non-surgical disc repair is right here in Reading.
So when you compare back surgery to non-surgical spinal decompression, like the DRX 9000, what are some of the main differences?
Non-surgical spinal decompression is safer, more effective, more financially reasonable, and much less invasive, with no side effects or dependence on harmful prescription drugs. We want the people of Shasta County to improve their health and become stronger in their bodies. Our all-inclusive care program includes physiotherapies, nutrition, exercise, decompression, and chiropractic care.
Give Shasta Spine Specialists a call at 243-2300, 243-2300, or check them out online, ShastaSpine.com.
This summer, we believe we can all beat the heat without having to sweat our electricity bill. Your Redding Electric Utility would like to remind you that there are many ways to save energy while the AC is on. Please visit reupower.com to learn how you can change a few small things around the house to save money while keeping you and your family cool. Learn how turning off lights, planting trees, and adding weather stripping and insulation can cut your electricity bill by 30% or more. Remember, reupower.com, brought to you by REU, where Redding is powerful together.
Hey, Bob, let's go to lunch today at the Classic Cafe.
I've known Millie and Kathy for a lot of years. They serve some great food down at Classic Cafe.
Home cooking, great prices, and you get a hug when you walk in there from Millie and Kathy.
And you can just spend hours checking out the walls with those historical military displays.
That's right, Classic Cafe, 2427 Athens in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. A great place to eat, a great place to see what's going on.
And a great place to get a hug.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Lindebott. Linda's on assignment, so my co-host today is John Dixon, an old friend that I haven't seen. And gosh, you know, you've been in and out of here for years now.
It's been 2 years.
It's been 2 years
of traveling.
Wow. Hey, it's 12 minutes till 8 o'clock, 74 degrees today, going up to 108. Thank you to Shasta Gas Propane for weather reports. You can give them a call at 365-3793. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Been with us since the very first show that I was ever on, August 4th, 2007. If you can believe that. So, oh yeah, they've been a sponsor here for us for, at the other station here for the whole time. And I tell you, they're a veteran-owned business that does so much for this community. And Espresso Joe's, where veterans get discounts in there for any type of coffee or cold drinks. And walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California with a walk-in humidor that is just knock-your-socks-off kind of place. 2143 Hilltop Drive. You would think I would know that after all these years. Tobacco and Brew. Our guests are Mike Warren, who is the CEO of Turtle Bay, and Christy Kidd, who is, this is her usually her time to come in on to talk about Turtle Bay. But so we've been able to talk about the things that are going on. What's the next big thing?
The next big thing would be Get Animated. It's our fall exhibition.
Okay.
It opens September
25th.
Thank you. I knew it was the 20-something.
I know. It's a little dicey sitting right here next to the big poobah.
Got to get it right.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really, really interactive and colorful and interesting and informative, just like we always try to do with all of our exhibitions.
Okay, is this going to be like the one you have now? I mean, this got a lot of people coming to it. So, I mean, this one's going to be something else. It's going to be
this
rocking.
This one is from the same exhibit design company that did Toytopia and Sweet. So that color and that interactive experience and the noise and just everything that they do, it's going to be just like that. But this one's all about animation and the history of animation. And it focuses on some studios
uh-huh.
like Disney and DreamWorks and Sony and
okay.
And so there's some really cool pieces from that. I'm personally a Disney fan, so I'm pretty excited about a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride car that you can sit in and take
pictures.
You've
been a Disney fan, and you always will be a Disney
nothing
fan.
Nothing about that surprises you,
like,
does it?
You're 12 years old, but that's okay. Hiring people this young, you know, I'm like,
oh. That means they'll stay forever.
That's right.
I'll never grow up.
That's right. Yeah, in fact, one of these days, Christy will be sitting in your spot, and I don't know who will be sitting here. It won't be me, though.
Yes,
that's a lot of pressure.
Small world after all.
You know what? We were talking during the break about some really great ideas for historical exhibitions, too, mm-hmm. but we'll talk about those later. Mm-hmm. But this one sounds really good. The part where, you know, where kids are in there and interactive and all that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we helped support the one last year on the Civil War, mm-hmm. and we really liked that. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, it was before its time, because it had a lot to do with slavery and all this. And then, of course, this year has been such a huge, huge amount of time and media devoted to slavery and, you know, of course, in this case, the Confederate flag. But in this exhibition was kind of like a precursor to all that. If you looked at it, it kind of gave you a real idea why people are so, they have gotten so amped up about this.
That was one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we were happy to help support that, as were our listeners and all of our partners in that. But it was a good exhibit. Well,
mm-hmm. Let me tell you about our sponsors. I mean, some people still think that the city helps us, and they do not. They help us in other ways. They are very cooperative with us and whatnot. But we don't get any public financing, so we have to rely on people like Carl and Linda Bott. Maurice Johannesson, the Bambauers, Cheryl and Dennis Bambauer. These are people in the community that have sponsored either Mindbender Mansion or Get Animated, along with Lassen Canyon Nursery, the company called Build It, owned by the Jeter family. You mentioned earlier Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Yeah.
These are groups of people, or businesses, individuals and businesses, that put money toward the exhibitions that allow us to bring higher quality of exhibition to Reading.
Well, I tell you what, that exhibition, and it was so appropriate for here on fly fishing with the fly shop and Five Star Bank, and on that one was just beautiful because it was not only about fly fishing, which I've just taken up, and by the way, 2 weeks ago I'm going to put them on Facebook today. I actually caught fish. The guide finally had to, you know, he'd leap into the water and grab them finally for me because I was having a little problem getting them onto the boat. No, I'm kidding about that. But it was a beautiful exhibition. And there are people from here that are, that are helping with this. And Turtle Bay doesn't take the city money to do this. It takes people.
the people that care about it.
J.F. Shea Company in Reading came up with, their employees came up with a wonderful idea. We asked them if they would help us out financially, sponsor an exhibition. They said, what we want to do is to put money toward Turtle Bay that would allow people to get in for either free or very low cost, a dollar or something like that. And so they gave us an amount of money, and this year we will have a free or almost free day of $1 or $2 to get into Turtle Bay so that people that say they can't afford it can afford it. And I'm sure on that day, whenever it is, do we have a date set?
I don't think we have an actual date. I know it's in October. I don't think we picked a date yet.
And that date, I can almost guarantee there'll be 1,000 people, 800 people that will come in.
Mm-hmm. O'Shea subsidizing that is just fabulous.
See, I mean, Shea is that's an international company.
Yeah.
But they're local guys, too.
Yeah.
Ed and those guys are local. I mean, there's a lot of...
The employees are all local.
There are a lot of, and there are a lot of people, a lot of companies around here that have made it here through hard work and all that, that they've given back to the community, mm-hmm. and you never hear about them. Mm-hmm. You never hear who they are. But I'm getting ready to give away two free passes to Turtle Bay. First person to call, 605-4567. We've given these away now for the last few weeks. And what it means is you can come in and do anything you want, and it's all for this one... price of free.
Of free.
Except if you go to the Lorikeets.
Not even that. Only if you want to feed the Lorikeets.
Okay, you can go to the Lorikeets. That's right. You can walk in there. But if you want to feed the Lorikeets, it's going to cost you a dollar. But frankly, it's worth it. Because they come and they swarm you. And that you become, I saw a photo the other day, some kid in there. He's got them on his head. He's got them on his arms. He's got an all one. So if you want tickets to Turtle Bay free for the anytime you want to go, anytime, 605-4567. All right. Now, last thoughts here on this from Mike Warren, the CEO out there at Turtle Bay. You talked about some upcoming events, but also about the water, maybe adding some different types of exhibits out there and all this.
Right.
Now, what kind of impact is it going to have in building the motel there?
Well, we're in a good way concerned. Again, on average, 200 different people every other day will be in and around Turtle Bay. Say half of them come to Turtle Bay. That's 100 people more that will be coming into Turtle Bay and possibly future members. So on our attendance, it's going to be a very good thing. On income from the hotel, all the profits go to Turtle Bay operations and stay local. Mm-hmm. That will be a very good thing. But some of the things we have planned, and I was just saying off air to John that, you know, we'll have some golf carts or electric transporters to go from the hotel down to the dock. So if you're going to go fly fishing or if there's a boat concession, you'll be able to just walk out the hotel and go down there. We have the Ken Gifford Picnic Pavilion. Turtle Bay closes at 5. People from the hotel, if they make arrangements, can go over to the picnic pavilion and have hamburgers and hot dogs. We think the hotel will be successful because of Turtle Bay, and Turtle Bay will be more successful because of the hotel.
I think it's going to work out, and I think there's so many things that can happen through there. And what I really like to hope and think is that over the next few years, Turtle Bay could be kind of like the stone
hub.
That hub that puts everything in there, that everything moves up and then down the river.
Yeah.
Now that, and it all leads to people, you know, interactive businesses, the use of the river in a very smart, environmentally sound way. But that brings in those 80,000 cars that we start getting 10% of those cars just peel off, and then they start going and finding what a beautiful place we are. We're going to have we could have like a Napa Valley up in Inwood area. I mean, all these things are there if we can just get them off the road and have them come. And I think the government gets out of the way. But I think the leading part of that is going to be Turtle Bay right there at the front. So Mike Warren, CEO of Turtle Bay, and Christy Kidd, who's always here with great news and great things going on with her. How's your leg?
It hurt.
Does it really? Is it?
Yes. I had physical therapy yesterday, and it was kind of rough.
You got to, like, stretch all those tendons. Huh? Christy had was dancing and had an ACL injury like you do in football.
Yep, I did. I was told if I was going to do it, I did it big, because I did that. I tore the meniscus. I did all kinds of
stuff. Then we talked about meniscus.
The end of your basketball career.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we'll be right back after this break. Carl Bott, John Dixon, remember, it's hot out there. It's going to be 108 today, 74 right now. Don't leave anybody, anything in the car that could be hurt by this heat. We'll be right back. It's 8 o'clock.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Police in Thailand believe they've identified the person who set off a blast at a religious shrine at a downtown intersection yesterday, killing at least 20 and injuring scores. Surveillance videos show a man in a yellow shirt placing a backpack at the scene and then leaving. These types of attacks aimed at killing large numbers of people are unusual in that city.
To my knowledge, it's the most deadly terrorist attack to have taken place in Bangkok. And it's certainly not like politically motivated attacks that we've seen in the past, which have generally been designed to grab attention, but not necessarily to cause casualties.
Matthew Wheeler of the International Crisis Group. The IRS says personal information of up to 334,000 taxpayers may have been compromised by hackers. That's triple their original estimate. Those affected are being notified by mail. The fear is that hackers could use that information to file fraudulent returns. They're calling out the troops to help battle the dozen or so fires burning in Washington state. 200 active duty troops being trained to lend a hand. That's not all.
The military came in and provided some radio equipment that's been crucial to us being able to talk and keep each other informed about what's going on in different parts of these big fires.
One of the state's biggest fires threatening the Chelan Recreation Area, where nearly 3,000 people have been evacuated. Washington, just one of several western states where hundreds of fires continue to burn. Also at SRNNews.com, authorities searching Hillary Clinton's private email servers have sent 305 emails to other agencies to review for possible classified information. Critics say all of this is taking its toll on the Democratic frontrunner.
With the kind of drip, drip, drip of these revelations, first I had a private email server, but I was only using it because I didn't want to have two email accounts, and then that didn't really make any sense. This is eroding her level of trust.
This is SRN News.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
We gave Tom 12 seconds to give 6 reasons why he opened a Mathnasium Learning Center franchise.
Okay. Great income potential. Doing good for kids. Doing what I love. Making math make sense to kids. 500 centers open already. 1 every 3 days. Mathnasium taught me the business. Helps me. Supports me.
Time's up. Pretty good. For franchise information, visit Mathnasium.com or take the first step right now. Call 855-361-MATH. That's 855-361-6284.
Mexico is a dangerous beat for international journalists. The Global Press Association Media International has penned its concern to the government.
The letter of condemnation directed at President Enrique Peña Nieto expresses indignation at the killings of journalists as an attack on society's right to be informed, stating there seems to be no safe haven left in Mexico. Mexico's National Human Rights Commission says 97 journalists have been killed in Mexico since 2010. Last month, photojournalist Rubén Espinosa was murdered in Mexico City along with 4 women. For SRN News, I'm James Blears in Mexico.
Doctors in Germany say quadruplets born by C-section 3 months early to a 65-year-old retired school teacher are getting healthier and should be able to leave the hospital this month. The mother is believed to be the oldest woman to have ever delivered quadruplets. She already had 13 other children.
This is SRN News. Senators Ben Cardin of Maryland and John Bozeman of Arkansas are introducing a bill to add a wall of remembrance to the Korean War Veterans Memorial here in Washington.
It would include the names of U.S. soldiers who died during the war. It also would include the number of troops wounded, those taken as prisoners, and those who remain missing in action. In addition, the memorial wall would include the number of members from the Republic of Korea Armed Forces, including a division that was stationed with U.S. forces, as well as troops from countries that were under the United Nations command. Currently, the Korean War Veterans Memorial includes roughly 20 statues of U.S. troops, as well as a wall that includes a mural of U.S. service members. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Capitol Hill.
Authorities in Indonesia are hoping the discovery of a plane's black boxes will help determine why the Indonesian flight crashed into a mountain Sunday, killing all 54 people on board. More details at SRNNews.com. From Washington, I'm Wally Hines.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today, so John Dixon is my co-host. He's flying with me. He's my co-pilot here.
Hey, I'm your wingman.
Every week, and you're making it easy. 8:05 here in the morning on the 18th of August, a Tuesday. The weather is going to be a little bit warm today. Bad Bob?
Absolutely, Carl. High of 107 degrees today. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. That means fire danger off the scale. Just ask folks, Trinity County.
That little sound you heard was my the moisture in my eyeballs just thickening right then, just like that, so I can't see.
Still more smoke coming over from those Trinity County fires that now involve well over 150,000 acres going up in smoke. Tonight's low will be 70 degrees. Tomorrow we see a drop, relatively speaking, 102 for a high. By Thursday, 100. Friday drops down into the 90s. Right now in Reading, we have 77 degrees, and the report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Well, it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. It's a better-known business. And they give senior and veterans discounts there. Give them a call, 365-3793. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, another veteran-owned business. Martin and his people have been in the business for over 20 years. And with all the smoke you've got going out there, your filters are going to need to be taken care of. Your system's going to need to be taken care of, your cooling system. Give them a call, 221-2642. You have an emergency, give them a call. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day to help you doing that. Check out their website at homecomfort.org. They are just exceptional. Martin's people are exceptional in what they do in keeping your cooling systems cooling you and in the winter keeping you warm. Today at 8:08 in the morning, you know, we just had John invited, you know, John says, well, do you have, for coming on for co-host, what do? I said, well, you find this guest. That way I don't have to find guests. And John brings in Mike Warren from Turtle Bay, and it just so happened we had Christy Kitt from Mike, you know, for coming in from, because this is their regular time, they come in and talk about what's going on, but that worked out okay. But then his other guest today is a guy we've had on before, and we always enjoy having him on. And the first time we had him on, I said, well, how are we going to talk about an hour for this? And as it turns out, that's not quite enough time.
Never enough time for the warm-ups. Well,
introduce our guest here.
Well, I would like to introduce my friend, Ken Warenius, who's here today to talk about soil web conservation, soil food web conservation, among other things. But when he came in and sat down and he said to me, John, what am I doing here? And I said, what I think would be a good idea to talk about would be the effect of what the drought is having on soil and on your growing medium in your home, your lawns, your trees, anything. What's happening to the biology of the soil as this heat is becoming extended and extended? And Ken, jump in.
Well, I'd like to say thank you for having me on board here. It's always fun coming down and talking, sharing knowledge with people. We want to talk a little bit about conserving moisture in the soil. The best thing that we can do for that is mulch. Lots of mulch. And mulch can be made out of many, many things. I personally prefer what I make myself is shredded cardboard, shredded straw, a little shredded alfalfa, and shredded leaves. Leaves are by far the best. Has a lot of nutrients and minerals in them. And you want several inches of that mulch on top of your garden. And that will act as a moisture retention and
an insulator.
An insulator. And it helps keep the weeds down, which is really important. So really? That's one of the best things, you know, you can do.
You know, with the with this drought that's been going on for years now, according to reports, we may have the Godzilla of El Nino's coming in. I know everybody's praying for that, but that's not going to end the problem, because one big year of storms, the first thing it'll do is cause horrible mudslides, and you'll see rivers flooding, you'll see houses destroyed, and all this stuff, and then it goes away, but we're still in the middle of a drought. So, yes. Of course, so it doesn't solve things. It might even fill up Lake Shasta. It could do that.
Yes,
but it doesn't change the fact that we're in a drought. And people have to understand is that we've got a plan. This is long-term planning. We've had all types of experts on talking about water and watersheds and all this. And, Ken, you're kind of our expert on getting it right down into your house and all this, because we can only water three times a week. And let me tell you, the water police are out there because I got my first letter.
No.
I did. So thank you, Francie. And and the fact that they put it on my front door with a knife, and you know, it was like driven through there with a knife.
Catch it.
And it started out, deer, and the word I can't even say, the FCC would throw me off the air. And it says, "We have caught you. We have earned the $30,000 they've given us by catching you." And what did they catch me doing? Was I overwatering? No. Did I have cutoff valves? Yes. See what? Was I sprinkling on the road? No, not with city water. Sometimes I go out there and go to the bathroom, but that's middle of the night. That's up to me. Am I watering too long? No. None of these things. Everything was perfect except for one thing. I was not watering on the right days. Now, I tried to.
Shame.
I tried to. I have a watering system, which is really intricate, that you have to push all these buttons, and sometimes they work, and sometimes they don't. Okay, it is so intricate that we have a friend named Brandon. Brandon, can you come over here and change this water around? Well, he did, but I left the gate locked. So he changed what he could. So I was watering, I have to admit it, 5 days a week. But I was only watering half, so only half the water. I was watering the right way on 3 days, but only half of my sprinklers. And then the other 3 days, I was watering my other half of my sprinklers. So I was still using the same amount of water, just it was on different
less.
Days.
You should be commended. But you only did 2.5 days.
Yeah, and so that's what they got me for, watering on the wrong days. And, being a little more truthful now, what you do is you get a letter, and it says, "Dear homeowner, We have inspected your house on this day at this time, 6:35 in the morning, and this is what we have this is what we have noticed." And they go down, "Have you done this and this and this?" No. "Watering on the wrong day." "Yes." And then the rest of them are no, which means good, because we're doing the rest of the stuff. We're watering the right length of time and all this. However, you need to fix this. And if you don't fix this, we're going to come back again. We're going to warn you again.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're going to get stern with you and warn you a third time.
Did you get fined or anything?
No. They're not going to fine you until, and you've got to blatantly say in their face, you take it and you rub it all over your bottom and you show it to them, say, "Hey, that's what I think of it." But even then, they won't do anything until I think the third time. Then you get
a red letter.
And then you get it the fourth time. And frankly, you get something the fourth time, you deserve a fine, all right?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Here's my question is, though, and then we're going to go back to whatever Ken came here to talk about. Who's giving the red letters to the city of Reading? They are the ones that are breaking the rules for the 36%. They are watering everywhere. They're watering streets. They're watering everything. Who gives them the red letter? I think John Dixon should give the city the red letter.
I've been giving them the red letter for a long time.
I think we should give them the fickle finger of fate award to the city council for watering the fields, the parks, and everything, and not following their own rules, because the worst offender of the watering is the city. We are still losing 8 to 9 million gallons, and we don't know where it goes to.
I know where it goes to. If you go to the corner of Hilltop in East Cypress and watch them water the street routinely, and again, I'm going to qualify this because it is not the city that owns that, even though it says the city of Reading is on the sign. It's actually owned by a private group, and it's taken care of by a private group.
I say we make our own red letters, and then during a city council meeting, we get up and talk at the end of the meeting, because we can't talk at the beginning of the meeting, so we have to sit there for an interminable amount of time listening to them prattle on about something. And then we come up there to talk about something important, and we award them the red letter, because you guys have been warned. So, Mayor Sullivan, here's the red letter.
Carl, why don't you tell us how you really feel about
this? And the red letter could be not a letter, but it could be like the letter F. There's your letter. You have failed at keeping the water under control.
I like it.
Yes.
I like it. I think community interaction with our city government is an essential factor in life. And I like what you're saying, Carl. We need to go up there and charge them with the responsibility of controlling the water
situation.
I think
just charging them. Hey, we got to take a break here. This portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur is where they're located. John Bastiani started his business 6 years ago during this terrible recession and has made a great success out of it by customer service and having the types of guns, ammo, and shooting accessories that his customers want. Customer service, great gunsmithing, the products that people want. All locally owned, locally operated right here, Bastiani Arms. Give them a call at 222-8222 or stop by 2539 Larkspur. You always feel welcome at Bastiani Arms. We'll be right back with our guest Ken Warrenius and my co-host John Dixon. I will let them talk now. Don't be shy by the tone of our voice. Check out a new weapon of choice. Don't be shy by the tone of our voice.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us and we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your deliveries. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchards. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl Bott and John Dixon and Bad Bob, who's in the he's in hysterics over there. And
one hand never far from the button.
Never far from the button, because I'm on a roll here today. 8:20 in the morning, my friends, and 77 degrees going up to 108 today. 108 degrees. Don't leave anything in your car. I mean, nothing. You put that head of lettuce in there, and it's going to come out.
Including yourself.
Guilty. Yeah, you know, last night, somebody called me just as I pulled into the driveway there, and I foolishly turned off my car engine. And when I did, it went immediately from air conditioning, not a lot of air conditioning because it wasn't that long a drive to get there, until it was, I mean, literally within 3 or 4 minutes, it was getting uncomfortable. And in 5 minutes, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, this is crazy. So I, cut off the conversation. I said, look, Barack, don't ask me next time if you don't want the answer. So I hung up and got out, but it was just hot. But I tell you what, and it can be hot, but where it's going to be really cool if you go up to View 202. For the brunches every Sunday through we only have 2 more weekends here in August for the Sunday brunch at View 202, and Linda's going to be singing from 11 to 1. Both those days, the brunch goes from 11 to 2. You need reservations, though, because they fill up the outside up there, that veranda. However, you can hear the music while you're inside, but it's just beautiful out there on the veranda where you can watch the river, you can watch the boats coming down. It's just a beautiful venue right there.
It was so pleasant the other day when I was out, and I had my son and daughter-in-law here from Seattle, and we stopped at View 202 and missed Linda performing, but we got to visit with her, which was even better, really. And
you enjoyed it.
It's a great place.
The food's great. You have
wonderful ambiance.
The ambiance is just outstanding. It's the only... Come on, people, it's the only restaurant on the river between here and Red Bluff.
Yeah.
And that's another thing we start
talking
about.
And it's a great one.
And it is. The food's good, a new chef and all that. Give them a call at 226-8439 for reservations. And join us this Sunday out there from 11 to 1 with Linda singing, but brunch going from 11 to 2. View 202. Okay, Kim Wyrenius is our guest. The Worm Master to the Stars is the way I call you.
Well, thank you.
Master to the Stars. You know, we're talking about drought, and we've had watershed people coming in here. We've had experts coming in here saying, you know, say goodbye to species. Species are dying because you got to make that choice, whether it's going to be a little fish is.
The dart.
Yeah. Or a darter. Or it's
the fairy shrimp or something.
Or it's going to be feeding people. Yeah. So which species are going to be wiped out? And it's just going to be a matter of fact, they're gone. That's it, they're gone. Yeah. And because we need the water. Now, what Ken does is, with this drought, and you know, and we were being a little facetious about the red letter, not really, going to the city and watering a lot less, a cut down of 36%. You know, we've got signs on our street that says drought lawn, and they're just dead. Just dead.
Right.
But there are ways, and this is your expertise, where there is ways of keeping your lawn salvageable during this drought.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, one of them you said was mulch. I know also when I say worm master, worms are important in your soil too.
Oh, absolutely. Many scientists consider the worm to be the most important species on the face of the earth, because without them, you know, they provide nutrients for the soil, little tunnels through the soil so water and air can get to them. Very, very important. And back to the mulch thing. Your soil can retain tremendous amount of water if you have a lot of mulch on top. It stays or it doesn't run off. If you, without the mulch, the water runs off the grass, into the sidewalk, into the street, and gone. And also you were talking about how you're watering 5 days a week. It's better to water 2 or 3 times a week deep, as opposed to...
Okay, and yes. I think that's the mistake I'm making, because I'm watering 3 days a week now on Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday.
And that day you do otherwise.
Other days, I walk out there. I have a water truck, and I just come in there. I suck that out of Sacramento illegally and just bring it out, and I water my yard. Wednesday, Friday. I'm sorry, Ken. I don't mean to be hurting your feelings.
You're killing me, bro.
He's grabbing. Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday is when I water. But I only water for like 10 minutes at each spot. I should be watering longer than that then, right?
Probably. You want to dig down in that soil and see how far that water's going down in there. Really take a look at it. Don't guesstimate. You know, take your little shovel and dig down in that grass.
Yeah, I'll be out there tonight.
There you go. Whoopee.
No, on a serious note
Linda
about that.
Linda is rolling on the floor right now. She says, oh, I can't. First of all, I have to borrow a shovel.
The lawn hole punchers are very important to keep your lawn alive.
Oh, these things I see in the senior citizens things where you put it on your feet and you walk around your yard?
No, that's inadequate.
Okay.
No, this is a tool.
Inadequate.
I know you're not familiar with a lot of those.
I'm not familiar at all with the term inadequate. So.
But anyway, we can punch holes in the soil with these tools. And the other thing is, and this Ken is not necessarily going to agree with, but the city has a opportunity for you to get free mulch.
Oh,
and
they do?
Yes. It's down by Pick and Pull.
Viking Way there?
Viking Road area.
Yeah.
They have a city parks department there and whatnot, and they will give away truckloads of free mulch for you
really?
To take. Yes.
Okay, that's cool. Now, Mr. Warrenius.
Yes.
Which shows you obviously is coming from somebody else. Does Mr. Warrenius make home visits to give advice on garden amendments, soil, and growing conditions?
Yes, I do. I go out there, I take soil tests, we send the tests into Logan Labs, and then when it comes back, I give analysis and recommendations.
And what is your phone number?
My phone number is 243-2836. That's the same as number 2, Heaven.
2, Heaven.
2, Heaven.
How I always remember it.
Yep.
2-H-E-A-V-E-N.
243-2836.
Yes.
Okay. So... Okay, going then back into the fact is that then we want to keep the ground obviously aerated.
Yes.
And then you get your mulch. The worms, and this is something that I know that probably not a lot of other people know. There's two types of worms. Well, there's many types of worms, but you have there's the worms that go horizontally and the ones that go vertically. And if you didn't know that, then you have not really been up
you
on your worms.
You haven't studied your worms.
You've not studied your worms. But this is important because you need both types of worms.
Absolutely.
In your soil because one goes one way, one goes the other, and they mix together.
And they serve different functions. Like your night crawlers go way up and down, and they draw calcium and magnesium that's very easily soluble back up to the surface. Whereas your other worms, so like your Encinia fetida or your red worms, they go back and forth in the top 6 inches, and they consume all the dead material that's fallen off the leaves of the grass or whatever is deposited there. And overall, there's over 4,000 different kinds of worms. The longest worm I ever found was over 20 feet long down in South Africa. And up in Oregon, sometimes you'll find these golden worms that are like 3 feet long. So, yeah, there's a lot of different kind of worms out there, and they all serve different functions and purposes.
In New York, those are called pythons.
Yes, they have those.
Toilet pythons.
Most important species. Is that why so many of them become politicians?
Okay, so...
They're all dirty.
There's 4,000 different kinds of worms. I can't believe I'm talking about this. Okay, but the best thing about worms is worm castings.
The worm castings.
Worm poop.
Yeah, worm poop, absolutely. It contains copious quantities of microbes, your bacteria, your fungi, your protozoa, your nematodes, and all these guys create environment to where they provide nutrients for the plant.
I knew this was important because I saw the movie Dune. And if you've not seen the movie Dune, this makes no sense to you at all.
But, those are big worms.
But those are big worms, and this blue stuff that they kept getting from was worm castings, essentially. Okay, our guest is Ken Warrenius, who is the worm master to the stars, and plus he is giving us ideas on how to keep your lawn
healthy
during this drought.
Yes.
And so what you're doing is, okay, water for three days a week, as we're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
You water for a length of time so that the water gets down in the soil.
Yes.
As John points out, but you need to aerate the soil. But I guess there's things that you can just, you know, push over the lawn that kind of put some holes in them and everything.
Right.
Stomps holes in the yard. And then what you could do is then you take a little shovel and dig straight down and see how deep the water
is
getting.
And another really important thing is get a soil test. because your calcium-magnesium ratio is really, really important. Calcium loosens the soil up so that water can penetrate down. If you have too much magnesium in your soil becomes hygroscopic, or hydro, to where it doesn't want to absorb the water. And so you want to make sure you have the right calcium-magnesium ratio. That's really important, and that helps your pH come into alignment also.
Well, I didn't know that.
How about that?
And it keeps everything healthy?
Yeah.
And your yard green and...
It keeps your yard regular.
Yeah, and it gets that water down to where it needs to go, way deep into the root zone.
And if that doesn't keep it green, you get a can of paint.
There you go.
All right. Our guest is Ken Wyrenius, lawn and garden expert and the worm master to the stars. Of course, John Dixon is my co-pilot today. Bad Bob's over there just rolling around laughing with his hand over the dump button ever since I said, hey, I really think that a good exhibit there at Turtle Bay could be the history of burlesque and watch Mike Warren fall off the chair. He said, I don't think we'll be seeing that. And I said, okay.
Darn.
It doesn't mean it's nasty. It's just the history of burlesque.
Yes.
I mean, that was a very interesting time. Many of our great comedians came out of that era.
Good times.
Yeah, they have something out there. But this is better. This is even better. We're going to take a break here. It's 8:30 in the morning. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month, next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapels are locally owned and family operated since 1978. Our goal is to assist you with your questions and decisions in difficult times, treating you with respect, care, and understanding, as we would with our own family. We have a reputation for being honest and compassionate, and our rates being very reasonable. We have a menu of various services, from cremation to traditional paths. Let us be there for you and help you with the questions you may have. Even if you have already chosen another chapel service, that's just the kind of people we are. Always there for you. Allen and Dahl with three locations to serve you. Redding, Anderson, and Palisadro. For more information or questions, call 547-4444. That's 547-4444. Allen and Dahl. Family, helping family.
This summer, we can all save energy and money together. Your Redding Electric Utility would like to remind you that you may qualify for one of the many rebates available for upgrading your appliances, adding insulation and window screens, or making other energy-saving improvements to your home or business. Please visit reupower.com to learn how you may earn a credit on your electricity bill. Save energy, save money. Remember, reupower.com, brought to you by REU, where Redding is powerful together.
It's hot and smoky, and yet they're on the job 24 hours around the clock, protecting our lives, our homes, and our property. From all of us on the China Fire and all the fires in the North State, a huge thank you for all you do. You saved our homes and patrolled our streets, keeping the looters at bay. Although we were without electricity, most of us returned to our homes standing safe, if a little singed. To our firefighters and our police force, thank you seems so trivial. We are sincerely indebted to you.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Linda's on assignment today, but I have John Dixon as my co-pilot, and Ken Wyrenius, the Warm Master to the Stars, is my guest. And this portion of the show is brought to you by my friends and fellow veterans there at Cypress Square barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, right across the street from the subway, right across the parking lot from the subway. Man's Last Stronghold, discounts for seniors and veterans. The best place to get a haircut in this town is the Cheers of barbershops. And then just head on right down the street on Athens to Classic Cafe. Mm-hmm. Millie and Kathy, head on down there, get your hugs.
Millie and Kathy.
And I tell you, walk in, you get your hugs, and great breakfast, outstanding lunches. And the walls are filled with memorabilia of our veterans who have served in conflicts from World War II to Korea to Vietnam to Desert Storm into the War on Terror throughout the world that's been going on forever.
The food's great, but the hugs are better.
Oh, yeah. Millie and Kathy there. Classic Cafe. All right. Ken Warenius is our guest, and we were talking during the break. And so we've talked about how you can save your lawn even during this time where you can only water. You've cutting back 36% on the water. It doesn't mean that you can't have a nice yard if you do the right things.
Sometimes you have to make your yard a little smaller because, you know, your water allotment will only do so much. But I'd like to go back to testing the soil.
Okay.
I think that's real important. I've really been focusing a lot on nutrient-dense organic non-GMO foods, and I've come to realize that the food that we eat doesn't have near the nutrients that it used to. When you're a farmer, you're not just farming, you're actually a miner. You're mining nutrients out of the soil, and if you keep doing that, eventually those nutrients run out, and the food that we eat doesn't have the nutrients that it needs.
Isn't that where they used to let a field go fallow?
Yes.
Or they used to call them rotating their crops.
Yep. Absolutely.
So that they would have one crop in, and then that would take a certain type of minerals out or nutrients out, and then the next one kind of almost would replace them, or it's a different.
Well, it takes time for those nutrients to dissolve from the rock structure inside the soil, and it takes time to do that. So yeah, if you can skip a year or two. That used to be a very common practice. Nowadays, you know, our soil is in such demand that we just don't do that. We don't have the soil, the room to do that. And so production is called upon all the time, you know, more and more production. And our food consists of a lot of nitrogen and a lot of hydrogen.
Potassium.
A lot of potassium. And we're lacking the calcium and phosphorus.
And this is just because of, let me throw the skunk on the table.
Sure.
GMO foods.
Yes.
Is it genetically modified organisms?
Organisms.
That your corn, especially a lot of your corn and soy.
Yes, almost all of it.
I'm not going to get into the, a big part of this argument, but does GMO food cut back on the types of nutrients we should be getting?
Oh, absolutely.
Where do you find that out?
There's tons of information online. You just got to do a lot of studying. A really good thing is go to soilandhealth.org, and that's put up by a gentleman called Steve Solomon, and he wrote a book called The Intelligent Gardener, and he goes into detail and tells you a lot about the nutrients and stuff like that.
An example of this, if you don't mind my interjecting a thought about GMOs, a simple crop like a turnip, which draws an enormous amount of phosphorus when it's growing, and it drains your soil of this nutrient. They have actually come up with a GMO turnip that doesn't use as much phosphorus, which means you don't get the same thing, same substance when you're eating it. It's not the same taste, but it allows the soil to be able to continue to produce these for year after year after year without adding any nutrients to it.
That's what you get for eating turnips anyway.
Yeah, really, huh?
If the nutrient is, or the mineral, the element isn't in the soil, it won't be in your food. If it's not in the food, it won't be in you.
So the only way they can get it in the soil then is to add it.
Add it, and exactly. Remineralization.
And they don't do that? Is that what you're saying?
Very few people do.
Okay.
We just now are beginning to understand the science of it all. And it's expensive, but once you get the remineralization up to the level that it should be in the right ratios and the right abundance, it'll stay like that for years, especially if we use sustainable practices.
Okay, now here's one of the problems that I see happening also. Now, I'm starting to see, because there's a book called, and I always get it wrong, it's either Desert Cadillac or Cadillac Desert. And it's a book that was written a decade or so ago, back in the 90s, maybe two decades now, about we live in California and in the Southwest, it's a desert, or a semi-desert area. We push all this water on it, we can grow anything. Now the water's going away.
For a while.
Now the water's going away. the fact is that we've got to get a lot smarter on how we're growing food.
Yes.
Ken, and I know
yes.
that you studied this, and this is kind of going from the part about talking about worms going up and down or back and forth into the fact is with the less water, what do you think? I mean, are we going to see that a lot less crops? Are we going to see the price of foods going up now? All of these things are going to happen because we just don't have the water to keep deserts.
You can go back in history for thousands and thousands of years, and you'll see many civilizations that just died because of climate change, which generally results in a lack of water. So, yeah, it could end up to where California becomes a wasteland. Or if we manage the water right, we overcome global warming and all that other stuff, we could have a very viable, great state. You know, it depends what the climate does.
What kind of things should we be growing in this type of climate?
Oh, geez.
I mean, a lot
of cactus.
I know, because we have a tendency to go into cotton and stuff. Cotton uses water, right?
Yeah.
And so they're talking about cotton maybe should be moved to the, I hate to say this, back to the south, and you know, because it takes so much water. But what are water-friendly crops that we could be using?
I'm not qualified to tell you all that.
Okay.
But
yeah.
You know,
that wasn't fair.
If you don't mind, again.
Sure.
Corn is an enormously water-consumptive crop. Right.
Very much.
So is cotton, as you pointed out. But
alfalfa.
Alfalfa. A lot of the grain crops are
right.
very water. And it's not known by many, but California is the number one state in cotton production. You would think
really?
It would be one of the southern states,
down,
but it's down in the Imperial Valley.
Yeah, you're going down to down on the San Diego, yeah. and you're heading east back there. You're going to see thousands of acres.
But how about rice? I mean, we're one of the biggest rice producers and that is a water-intensive unit. You know, I've got to change the subject for just a second. You guys promised me you were going to explain the sex life of worms to me, and I want to know about this.
Before you do that, though, I've got another one hopped into our chat room called the Ken Fan. And Ken, ask Ken to describe his worm tea.
Oh, yes, actively aerated compost tea. When we're dealing with soil, we're dealing with physics, biology, chemistry, and energetics. When we're dealing with actively aerated compost tea, we're dealing with the biology. Actively aerated compost tea is the quickest, cheapest, easiest way to put life back in your soil. That's basically a liquid compost. Anybody can make it. You go to YouTube, type in actively aerated compost, and the University of YouTube will show you how to do it. If you have any other questions, please feel free to give me a call. There's a lot of ifs, ands, and buts, little things, irregularities that need to be clarified. Or if you want.
You can show people how to.
Oh,
how
yeah.
it's made.
Yeah,
but this is
the
kind of thing, though, is that it needs to be used immediately. Because once you use it, if you don't use it immediately, all of the nutrients just kind of die.
It's got about a 12-hour shelf life.
And don't leave it in the sun.
Don't leave it in the sun.
Do not leave it in the sun.
And put it right out there as soon as you can. And make as much as you can, as often as you can. It's the best way to give life back into our soil.
You sell it down at the farmer's market.
I do it at farmer's market.
And, in fact, Ken, several years ago, came over and poured it into our rose bushes that we had just planted. And, you know, those little devils are still going like crazy.
Right.
And
you know,
I probably should probably put some more on there.
Not just root
feeding.
And
plus we mulch them, too.
Topical feeding is also very important with worm tea.
Yes,
top dressing. It'll take away the infections, the fungus, and other things that grow in roses, for example, when you get brown spots and black spots and things like that. If you spray the leaves with this, it takes it away.
It makes the plant healthier so it can resist any kind of invasion from pesticides or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Our guest is Ken Warrenius, and he's master gardener, and we kid around a lot about the worm master, but it's important because it does play a lot, especially with the worm tea that you're making that can actually revitalize your plants in your areas down there.
You can make it
yourself, but he also sells it too. In 5 gallon buckets, I think.
Five gallons. Yeah, come on down farmer's market every Saturday at.
Here's the thing about Ken is he sells it, but he'll also tell you how to make it.
Because
that's the kind of guy he is. Now we talk worms. And how many worms? Okay, you've seen. I'm just going to use this as an example. I've got a rose area there, which is 15 feet long mm-hmm. by 3 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
Six bushes in there, something like that. Six rose bushes. How many worms should I have in something like that?
In a garden, you want to strive for 10 to 12 worms per cubic foot.
Okay.
If you can get more than that, even better. The best thing to do, if you have a big area, even a small area, make sure you have a lot of food for them, which is mulch on top, and introduce the worms, keep them moist, and they will prosper.
Where do I get worms at?
You can buy them from me. You can buy them online. There's several guys in town that sell them.
By the way, I know we can, if I buy worms, it'll always be from you, Ken, because I know you handpick your worms.
Well, I'm very picky, yes.
You are, you handpick your worms.
Yes.
There's, if you ever watch Blue Collar Millionaire, where one of our good friends, Boyce Muse, was the first show. There is a couple in there. He is a retired Navy, retired sailor.
John and Mark, good people.
Oh, okay, you know them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They started a worm business, and they are now millionaires because they started a worm business, and now they sell not just worms, but the worm soil.
The castings
everywhere. Yeah. I mean, you've got big trucks taking this stuff out, and I'm like, worms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people have said,
who would have thought?
Plastics. Get into plastics. Or invest your money in gold. Yeah, right. I would have lost that. Oh, invest it in silver. It's going to go up because there's only so much silver. Right. Wrong. Hey, invest your money in worms. Yeah, well.
It's an honorable thing.
You're right, though. The Durham Worm Farm is a tremendous success.
Yes. Is that the one? And it's down here in California.
That's
too.
The one.
Right.
All right. Hey, we got to take a break here. Ken Morenius, the worm king of Northern California. We come back, we want to talk about a little bit about worms, but also about drought, things we can do to help our yards, but also gardens and the kind of food we're eating, too. And what should we be looking at when we're in the grocery store? And, I mean, should we be looking for specific things?
I still want to know how they reproduce.
And we'll talk a little bit about worm reproduction. In fact, worms, the very first organism on life that was confused about who they were. We'll be right back.
Nature trapped in the dirt like a jail. Vegetables live in oppression. Served on our tables each night. This killing of veggies is madness. I say we take up the fight. Salads are only for murderers. Coleslaw's a fascist regime. Don't think that they don't have feelings just cause a radish can't scream. I've heard the screams of the vegetables. Watching their skins being peeled,
their insides
grated and steamed with no mercy.
Off calories.
How do you think that feels?
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
For the past 17 years, the Shasta Land Trust has served our community by conserving the beauty, character, and diversity of significant lands in far northern California. Working with landowners, partners, and supporters, the Land Trust conserves places that protect water quality and provide wildlife habitat and recreation. This summer, the Land Trust celebrates the acquisition of the Great Shasta Rail Trail, a scenic 80-mile trail that supports local heritage and culture and boosts the economic and social vitality of local communities. The Shasta Land Trust, preserving places people love for future generations to enjoy.
Having trouble finding cute clothes and accessories in town? Look no further than Dandelion Boutique in our very own downtown Reading. Specializing in the hottest brands from Spanx to Alex and Ani, and of course, a huge selection of Brighton jewelry, perfect to make any gift or occasion memorable. So come say hi to the girls of Dandelion at their new spot, 1322 Pine Street, or call 247-1292. Dandelion, unique gifts and more.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. These cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
You're home. You serve your country with honor. Now it's time to strike out on a new path forward. You're a veteran. You set the standard for character, integrity, leadership. And you've gained valuable skills. Skills employers are looking for. At jobcenter.usa.gov, you can get access to personalized services and the support you need to find the perfect career. This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams saying, visit an American Job Center today and discover your next opportunity of a lifetime.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Lindabot. Linda's on assignment today. My co-pilot is John Dixon. He's doing a great job, as usual. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction, CCW training in Northern California. I was a guest on Armed American Radio yesterday, and I thought I was just giving an update of what's happening here in California. We have not stopped fighting the good fight about Second Amendment. That we up in Northern California, where you may not know about it, we have a lot of concealed carry people up here. Our ratio is really high, maybe the number one in the state, because we have a sheriff that believes in you have the right to carry. Unless you're a felon or you've got something else in there going against you, then you know what, you have the right to. You don't have to fight him over it. But Northern Firearms Instruction gives the most complete CCW training in Northern California. And give Ted Leidy a call at 999-1822. Register online at readingccw.com. If you don't have a gun or if it doesn't fit you right for this class, they will provide a gun for you and ammo for the class and then help you select the right pistol for you later on. Northern Firearms Instruction. Okay, John Dixon is here with me, but also Ken Warrenius, the Worm Master to the Stars. And we've been doing a lot of talking about how to keep your soil aerated and water in there, even under these times where you can't water as much. Things to add to your soil. But now I'd like to get into, I know that John, for some reason, wants to talk about worm sex, but we'll hold this off for a little bit. Let's talk about, though, when you're in the, you see this, organic foods, and it's always more money. And I'm not sure why it would be more for organic, because you don't have to add anything to it. It seemed like it would be cheaper. But then things that you buy at the store that you think are healthy, how do you know?
Well, great question. I would like to bring up the topic of refractometer. A refractometer is like a little baby telescope, and you can put like two or three drops of whatever you're going to buy, a tomato, watermelon, whatever, put it on the lens of this little telescope, and it will give you a reading. And what it does, it gives you the Brix count. The higher the Brix count, the more nutrients are inside the food.
Wait a minute. There's something you can buy?
Yeah.
That you didn't, you pick up the tomato at the store and you put it on this thing?
Yeah, you take a few drops of the tomato or the watermelon or whatever.
I'm sure that they will appreciate that.
No, that's what I was going to say. This is the responsibility, really, of the produce manager do. And he takes that tool, and he'll take one of the tomatoes that he's going to test before he even buys them, puts a couple drops on there, and finds out, one, what the sugar content is, what the other nutrients are. The refractometer gives it the whole scope of what's in this tomato.
But you could, as a shopper, is this thing expensive?
$50 to $100, $150
okay.
Depends.
So you have this spectrometer there. So after you buy some stuff, and what this really does is it's training you to buy a certain kinds of food.
Yes.
In the sense that, this has about as many nutrients and it's supposed to be organic.
Well, organic doesn't mean it has a lot of nutrients. All organic means is that it doesn't have pesticides, herbicides, miticides, and it's not GMO. You can have GMO foods that are healthier than organic.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, but also, just because it says organic. Organic has got so many.
Oh,
it's kind of like free ranging.
The definition.
I mean, you know, we have free ranging chickens here. Well, what's free ranging? You know, free ranging means it can. You know,
if they're free ranging in the dump, eating the garbage that's left in there.
So you got to kind of watch when you say organic here.
Yeah, to say organic, that you were wondering why organic food sometimes costs more.
Yeah, why does
it's because they have to go through all kinds of certification. It costs them a bundle to be able to do that.
Okay.
And
they don't have the preservatives to keep the shelf life
right,
up. And
right.
So it they spoil faster and
carrots,
it costs more.
So, I mean, carrots and peppers that are organic spoil faster than non-organic?
Not necessarily. It depends on the nutrient count. Okay. The higher the nutrients, the more sugar inside that that carrot or that watermelon, the longer it's going to last.
Oh, the longer it's going to last.
Yeah, regardless of whether organic or
however,
not.
GMO, the genetic modification to a plant can be to make it last and have a longer shelf life.
It can't.
Than anything. I mean, they turn it into plastic practically when they modify it.
And it has less nutrients. And it looks real pretty. And it's heavy. But it's not nutritious.
Okay, so you could be eating things that you think are green and leafy vegetables that you think are nutritious, like kale. And it could be...
Not so.
It could be...
Not so much, yeah.
Worm castings.
Worm castings are important because it helps put life in the soil, which creates more nutrients.
Okay.
Make sure
okay, now how do we, as consumers, how do we know what we're getting?
You don't. You have to rely, unless you get a refractometer, go down the store, buy a carrot from different stores or the farmer's market, and test them. You know, let the consumer be the person that drives what has to be done.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, it should be.
Yeah,
but see, people don't have a choice. They go over there and they say, oh, look, it's organic. It means nothing. It doesn't mean it's healthy.
Not
and you go over to the GMO, as we said. Oh, look, GMO is healthier. But see, is this – no, okay, you're saying – when I said that, Ken's hair stood up on end. He just went, no.
No, GMO doesn't necessarily mean it's healthier.
No, what I said is that some organic – which says organic is not as healthy as some GMO.
You're right. Yeah. What has to do with the nutrition is what's in the soil to start with.
Okay.
And it has to be in the soil.
The fact that most of the, even the chain grocery stores are moving into more and more organic or natural foods is...
It's sustainable.
It's driving it. It's making it happen.
Yeah. Slowly but surely.
Well... Okay, but I also see is they don't do it unless they can make a profit, and maybe it's a bigger profit.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad sense, but, you know, people want organic food, they're going to pay more. So you pay more, there you go. And also what you're seeing, too, is there people are buying local food. I like that.
Yes.
In the local area, so you're not having the stuff trucked in.
But we still majority have people rushing into grocery stores looking and saying, oh, that's $1.98 a pound. Oh, no, that's $3.98 a pound. I'm getting $1.98 a pound.
You got to remember there's two bottom lines. The price you pay, then either you pay the farmer or you pay the doctor.
Doctor, absolutely.
So there you go. All right, we've got like 4 minutes left. We're really only three because I have to talk about other things. But
sex life of a worm.
I'm not
okay.
Do they have one?
Children, please cover your ears.
Okay. That's right. Please, this is for adults.
This portion of Free Fire Radio may contain mature content.
Okay, worms are hermaphroditic, meaning that they're both of the same sex. And what worms do, you see the little band around a worm? That's called the clitellum. The worms actually crawl in under each other's clitellum, and they deposit the sperm. Then when they withdraw, there's a crust that forms over the clitellum. It slides off the end of the tail of the worm, and that's where the semen that the two worms exchange is now inserted into the egg. That slides off the tail of the worm, and out of that egg you'll get 2 to 12 baby worms.
Really?
Yeah, and that's where they multiply.
Little bitty things, probably.
Oh, they're itty bitty, tiny little guys.
Do they have any natural enemies?
Worms?
Other worms? Do other worms eat them?
Bears.
Well,
birds.
I get possums and
okay, but, coons. I mean, but once they're in the soil, something has to dig them up then. So they have
a mole is your biggest problem.
Moles.
One mole can eat like 50,000 worms a year, and that's over $1,000 worth of worms. So, yeah, you got to watch the moles.
But the mole bell works.
The mole bell works. Come down to Farmer's Market, and I'll tell you about mole bells.
Okay, so if you want to talk to Ken Morenius, and you want to sit down and bend his ear, and then bend yours and put your fingers into the worm soup and actually taste it. You can do this down at the farmer's market. Every Saturday, is it Saturday and Sunday or just Saturday?
Just Saturday.
Just Saturday, he's down there and ask to taste it. Ask to taste the worm soup that he has. There's worm soup, and it does things for you. It, for one thing, you'll never forget it. And it has this kind of a strange gingery taste.
Earthy,
gingery taste to it that the soil obviously loves.
Worm pasta.
Ken, thanks so much for being here with
us. That was great. Thank you.
John, thanks for lining up. We have Mike Warren today, you know, talking about the future of Turtle Bay and you know, we're getting ready to start the hotel there, and that's going to could be a big start. Talking about, you know, what's the vision for Redding? And why aren't we getting the vision? Why isn't the city council turning to Kurt Starman and saying, Kurt, I want, in 6 months, I want your first cut of what this place should look like in 6 years. Or 5 years from now, and I want it to be on the river, and I want to see things like that, and then turn Kurt loose and tell him, but you got to do it within our.
We need a 6 month, an 18 month, and a 5 month plan.
Yeah, it's got to be something that what's it going to take to do this, and why we're not doing that is ridiculous because we are being left in the dust.
Kurt, are you listening to us?
Every morning, I'm sure he wakes up to me.
I know he does.
to me, not anyway. You know what? We were in a place. We were in a yoga studio, and this one lady goes, your voice sounds familiar. And she lays down. She goes, oh, yeah. Now I know who you are. I wake up in the morning with you. And, of course, it's a good thing that Linda was sitting there with me as I just sat there and went, I'm never taking a yoga class again. So, anyway. Okay. Hey, tomorrow, the sheriff of Nottingham, Sheriff Tom Basinko, will be with us tomorrow. And remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys out there. Which are you?
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Record heat, high winds, and drought making life miserable for crews battling a series of destructive western wildfires.
It's hot. It's dirty. You're sleeping out here. They're sleeping out in the woods. They're getting up, you know, every morning at before the sun comes up, eating breakfast, getting on the line, working a full day, and then coming back.
Deputy Incident Commander Rob Allen involved in the fight against several big wildfires threatening Chelan, Washington. Major fires also raging in Oregon, Northern California, Idaho, Montana, and Colorado. He's seen in a security video sitting on a bench, leaving a backpack before walking away. A man captured on video before yesterday's deadly explosion in Bangkok. Thai police now hunting for that man. The bombing killed 20 people, wounded more than 100 others. Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott offering a helping hand to Thai investigators.
Attack.